He was supposed to join us yesterday, had a veterinary emergency, and now Hayden Hurst, new Falcons tight end, kind enough to reschedule and join us right now on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. Hayden, thanks for coming on. How's the dog doing?
Thanks for having me on. Yeah, the dog's doing good. She's a little one-year-old border collie, so unfortunately when she gets bored, she decides to chew on things. So had to take her in and get her stomach x-rayed, but everything is good.
I know the feeling. I've got a dog that's about 6 weeks old in my house right now. There's nothing she won't eat, so we're kindred spirits in that regard.
Oh, absolutely. I'm definitely a dog person.
Well, let's talk about the trade to the Falcons. Did you see a deal coming as you were with the Ravens?
I knew something was going to happen just because throughout the whole season when the trade deadline was approaching, I heard some rumors floating around. So it didn't really surprise me in the offseason that something got done. Me and my agent, Hadley Engelhard, were in constant contact with Eric DaCosta, just kind of letting him know how I felt. And I just wanted more of an opportunity, you know, to catch passes and kind of showcase my skill set. And, you know, he was very great throughout the whole process. And, you know, luckily we got something done with Atlanta.
I'm glad you mentioned him, because one of the stories that I had heard is, look, a player can go to a general manager. You can do it the right way or the wrong way. You can do it publicly and start screaming in the paper, I want more snaps, I want more balls. From what I understand, that was not done, so good for you in that regard. But a general manager, even hearing it behind closed doors, sometimes it's just like, yeah, whatever. From what I was told, he really did start looking around immediately, and part of why the Falcons, not only was the deal conducive to him saying yes to it in terms of the draft picks and everything else, but he also said, look, you probably can't do it with a rival. The fact that it's the Falcons, the fact that it's in the other conference. So this was a business thing, but it seemed to be that DaCosta and that group at least had your want and what they believed to be your ability to get on the field more in mind when they did this deal.
Oh, absolutely. Eric and the entire Ravens organization is first class. And throughout the whole season, you know, like I said, I knew something probably was going to end up happening. And, you know, they were great with it. They kind of kept me in the loop the whole time. And, like I said, me and my agent went to him and kind of talked to him and told him, hey, you know, obviously Mark Andrews is a Pro Bowl tight end and it's hard to get reps there. And I just wanted to showcase my talent. You know, I think I'm a very athletic guy. You know, obviously I was a first-round pick for a reason, and now I get to show it, and I'm just very excited.
We had one of your new teammates, Dante Fowler, on last week, and he talked about being a three-down defensive player, and we all said, your mouth to God's ear and hallelujah on top of that. In the tight end world, there are some guys who are more conducive to being receivers, blockers, and might just do one better than the other. What can Falcons fans expect from you when you get here?
I think throughout the whole draft process, everyone, you know, kind of told me I was able to do both. I was a hybrid guy, and I'm going to be a three-down tight end. You know, I pride myself in the run game and in the passing game as well. I think I do both things well. You know, obviously there's some stuff that I can still learn in the run game and, you know, sharpen up routes, but you know, I think I can do it both very well.
Hayden Hurst is with us, new Falcons tight end on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. You talk about your athleticism. I would invite Falcons to look at the highlights, especially the one from the victory you had when you were with the Ravens over Buffalo, the 61-yard catch and run. That's what you're talking about, right?
Absolutely. I think that's what I do best. I'm able to stretch the field vertically. You know, when I'm put on linebackers, it's a mismatch. And then safeties, too, just as far as my size, being 6'5", 265. And, you know, my thing, too, I know I, at the combine I ran a 4.62 or something like that, but I feel like I play a lot faster. And then when I got those opportunities, you know, against Buffalo and against Tennessee, I was able to capitalize. But, you know, they were few and far between, you know, with the Ravens just because it was such a crowded tight end room. So I'm looking forward to doing more of those things that I did in Buffalo and in the playoffs as well.
What are you working on and how are you doing it right now physically?
Yeah, right now, I work out at my high school here in Jacksonville during the off season, but unfortunately because of the coronavirus, you know, they closed their doors and everything. But the headmaster let me go in there, and I loaded two of my trucks up with weights and barbells and stuff and put them in my garage. So it's a little bit old school at the Hurst house right now, but I'm still getting work in.
You miss playing baseball at all?
Not at all. And there's no hard feelings against it because I always get that question. And I don't hate baseball or anything, and it just didn't work out, but I think I'm just wired to play football. It's more interesting. You know, football is more, or baseball is more, you know, kind of laid back, slow paced, and football just fits me way better.
What's happened with the playbook itself? I don't know how much time you're spending on a computer with whoever. I'll ask you, who have you actually had contact with, whether it's Dirk or whether it's Matt Ryan himself? And what about the playbook part of this whole thing? How deep can you dive into it without actually being in those meeting rooms?
Yeah, I've talked to Matt a few times. He's kind of texting me here and there. You know, I've talked to Coach Quinn and Coach Cutter as well. I've really been in contact with Coach Steele, the tight end coach, a ton. We've got a group text with the tight ends going. We have a good little back and forth there. And then every so often we'll have a FaceTime meeting, and I'm sure that's going to pick up here in the next few weeks when I guess we start the virtual off-season program. But right now they've just kind of emailed me some stuff. I think iPads ship out in about a week. So, you know, we're going to stay on it. It's going to be more virtual stuff. But, you know, that's kind of the world we live in right now.
Hayden Hurst is with us, new Falcons tight end. Your story, very public. You talked about a suicide attempt, and you obviously made it public by writing your own story. Were you surprised at all of the positive feedback that you received? Because you're really helping a lot of people with that courageous story.
Yeah, it's really humbling, to be totally honest. You know, I don't put the story out there for the notoriety and the interviews and things like that. I really, truly just want to help people and potentially save their lives. That's been the whole thought process through this thing, putting my story out there. It took me about a year or two just to feel comfortable, you know, kind of being in that spotlight. But, you know, it's a part of who I am. You know, it's part of my past, but it's made me into the person that I am today.
Well, the other part about that is in the seemingly social media world where everybody is doing better than fine. Look at me, I'm smiling over here, and look at me, I'm smiling over there. And then you have an athlete on top of that where what the hell has that guy got a problem with? It's a wake-up call, I think, to a lot of parents as well. Unfortunately, it's happened a couple of times in the state of Georgia where we've, as parents, had to think about it. I think that's the other part is nobody's immune to those types of feelings.
Oh, absolutely. Unfortunately, I think mental health and depression, anxiety, and suicidal thoughts kind of runs through everybody's mind. You know, everybody experiences trauma in their lives, and I think we're getting better with talking about it, but where we're at needs to kind of progress a little bit more. I know it's a topic that people don't like talking about, but like I said, it affects everybody and affects everybody's lives. So, you know, why not continue the narrative?
Well, your story really, for reasons other than that as well, is an incredible one. For those that don't know, you talked about getting asked the baseball question all the time. You're in the Pirates organization. You're doing okay. Then all of a sudden, one day, you're doing a bullpen session, and you can't throw strikes. And that's a problem that never necessarily went away, correct?
Yeah, it kind of happened after my first season in pro ball. And, you know, I was an All-American in high school, and I never really experienced anything like that. It was always just picked up the baseball and threw it past guys. And I got with the Pirates and developed the yips. And, I mean, I couldn't even play catch on a foul line, you know, like little kids do. Dealt with that for about 3 years and tried to figure it out, talked to, you know, psychiatrists, sports psychologists. It was just anything that I could do to try to fix it, and nothing ever really worked.
Well, that story with Steve Blass up in the Pittsburgh organization is maybe the most famous one of these cases.
Right, Steve Blass, Rick Ankiel, multiple guys. And actually, the Rick Ankiel book really helped me because that's kind of the reason why I jumped into another thing, you know, because he went from pitching straight to hitting and was able to kind of make himself up from nothing. And, you know, I think that I've kind of emulated that a little bit, but maybe not in the hitting aspect, but just in football.
Well, they say everything happens for a reason. Next thing you know, you're at South Carolina, then you're a first-round pick, and here you are with the Falcons. So you're very comfortable having all of that behind you and looking ahead.
Absolutely. I haven't touched anything in 4.5 years. I've made much better decisions without alcohol, so I mean, I've put all that stuff behind me, and you know, I've done great things without it, and I continue to look forward to, you know, just making progress on that end.
Obviously, Austin Hooper signs a huge deal. Do you watch game film at all of him and how he fit into this offense, and are there any similarities between the two of you?
Well, absolutely. What he did last year with Atlanta was incredible. You know, I think he had almost 800 yards and 75 receptions, about 100 targets. He's a very good player. He's able to find the voids and zones really well. I think for me to be able to emulate that is just getting on the same page with Matt. And I think that just starts as soon as, you know, these travel bans and things kind of get lifted. The quicker that I can get with him and we can get on the same page, I think we're going to be able to do some pretty special things.
You know, we talk all the time about guys have to play above their pay grade to have team success and what units on the field actually help another guy. Well, the two wideouts, certainly on the Atlanta Falcons with a Pro Bowl-type quarterback, I'd imagine you have visions of finding holes and finding spaces and getting a linebacker on your ass or your hip and then being able to go by him. Can I ask you about what do you know and how much have you watched what Calvin and Julio do?
Oh, man, having two guys like that on the outside and in the slot creates a lot of problems, you know, because you got to take away one of the guys. And then it's just a trickle-down effect from there. You know, you're going to get singled up and you're going to have to beat man coverage. So for me, that's great. And the other thing that I really am excited about is just getting in there and learning from those guys as far as route running and what they do to get open. Was able to do that a little bit in Baltimore, but you know, having two special wide receivers like that to kind of pick their brains is going to be really exciting for me.
I know he's a former teammate, but there must be a thought. When you're on the field with Lamar Jackson and you know that he might go 54 yards across the field, he goes there, he goes left, he goes right, the idea of the ability to block, I can tell you a big thing around here has been receivers being able to block. You know, block downfield, block for a receiver, block for a running back. Hell, if Matt needs a couple of yards, find a body to block. What's it like turning around and realizing that this play's not over? I got to go find a body to hit with Lamar.
Oh, man, it's fun. It's just like backyard football. You got to have your head on a swivel. You never know what he's going to do. You know, when he takes off, he could, like you said, cut across the field. He could turn it up. He could go back across. It's just, it's a lot of fun playing with him. Lamar always kept it light in Baltimore, and I think that's why guys kind of gravitated towards that. He just kept it fun and light, and it was just a game, but you always kind of have to have your head on a swivel.
Well, Hayden, we appreciate you coming on with us and looking forward to seeing you play for the Falcons. And when all of this is over, meeting face-to-face. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you guys for having me on.
Hayden Hurst, Falcons tight end, with us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. If you don't know his story, Chris, I would encourage people, I know you agree, to read up on everything this kid has been through. And to come out on the other side is truly an inspiration, because a lot of people don't want to talk about the things that he has had to deal with.
Well, there's probably a maturity now that unfortunately he had to, as a younger guy, go through when you talk about all of it. And he mentioned the alcohol as being a part of it as well. Again, as a parent, you're a parent, I'm a parent, everybody, a lot of people listening are parents. This idea that I think one of the problems with social media is everybody's living their best life in every picture. And I think that there are kids who probably see that and go, well, why am I not that happy? And I think that's a really, really big part of, you know, social media at its worst, because it plants seeds with kids who don't need those seeds planted every day.